How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode number 45 of Master My Garden Podcast. Now, this week's episode is a solo episode, which is going to feel a bit strange, to be honest, because for the last good number of weeks, we've had, you know, some fantastic guests on. And I suppose you get used to being in the guest environment where you have two people on the call or in the conversation, and you're bouncing ideas and the conversation flows. So this is going to feel a little bit strange again to be back just doing a solo episode. But what I wanted to cover was something I've been asked quite a bit over the years, and it's the time of year for it, I suppose. It's the best Christmas gifts for gardeners. Now, I suppose like any Christmas gift, this is a very, very broad area. You could have any number of gifts, to be honest with you. But I suppose to sort of taper down a little bit and to kind of direct people to maybe some types of gifts, then I've broken it down into kind of a list of 10. Now, I'm not going to give you links to specific items or recommend, for the most part, I'm not going to recommend any one item. I'm just going to try and give an overview of sort of ideas as to what you can buy for people. I think if you're thinking about a Christmas gift for a gardener, I think it's good, I suppose, a bit like anything, is to sit back and have a look at where that gardener is. And to give an example of what I'm talking about, a number of years ago in our family, I had a Chris Kindle for my brother-in-law. And they had, not that long before that, moved into their new house. Their garden was just at the very, very early stages. And so for him, a good gift was the gift that I got, a set of gardening tools. And there was a rake in it, a hoe, possibly a spade and a fork, but it was like four things that he would always use in the garden. And because they were at the early stages and they were just starting to develop their garden, and as I say, a new garden, then I knew those tools would be useful because he wouldn't necessarily have had those previously. Whereas if I was buying a gardening gift for somebody who was in their house for 20 years and had been gardening for a large part of that, well, then chances are they're not going to need, you know, a rake or a shovel or a fork or whatever it is, because there's a good chance that they would have that. So it's just think about where they are in their gardener journey, and that will kind of help as you go down the line of choosing the perfect gardening gift. But by way of kind of categorizing it and giving some overview ideas of it, the 10 list of 10 that I have are, starting at number one, tools. Now, as I mentioned, it can be a great gift, but if somebody has, you know, is already gardening for a while and you give them a rake or something like that, then that's not going to be a great gift, and it's going to end up a bit like the woolly jumper that you get every year and you never wear it. So think about where they are in the journey, and tools, they're a practical and useful gift. I suppose if I was to recommend one, the one tool that nearly every gardener in the world uses universally, whether they're in a town or in the countryside or whether they have a large garden or a small garden, is a secateurs. So that's a really good present to get. And of course, if you're recommending any secateurs, it has to be a Felco. It's the one that I personally use. I got a Felco 2 when I was back in college, which is back in the 90s now. So I have it a long, long time. I've never actually done a single thing with it, apart from sharpening it occasionally, but I've never replaced any parts on it. Probably at the moment could do with a little bit of TLC and possibly needs a new blade and a spring. But if I change that, which you can easily do by getting those parts, then essentially you'd have a brand new tool again. They're that good. Their Felco is the type of tool that gets handed down from generations. So somebody gardens for 30 or 40 years with one, and then they pass it down to somebody, you know, after they hang up their gardening gloves, so to speak. And that's the level of quality you get through a Swiss made tool. Other than that, like, some of the best gardening gifts I've got have been tools. Rebecca doesn't like to mention it as a present, but a number of years back I got a little rotavator, and it was one of the best gifts I ever got. It was useful. It's regularly used. When I need it, it's there, and yeah, you don't have to go looking for one or borrowing one. It's just something that you have. Another one, recent one, was a leaf blower. again, might seem like a boring gift, but for me, perfect thing to get because I needed it. And again, it gets used regularly. And, so if you know what the person would need in their garden, it's a practical gift, but it is something that you know they'll use. And if the person is into practical gifts, then I think tools are a great way to go. The second sort of gift range on the list is gardening books or nature books. Now, again, I have stacks of books here. I probably have maybe 30, 40, 50 different gardening books. And I have them across everything. I have houseplant books, which I know nothing about, but I have houseplant books, fruit books, vegetable books, garden design books, plant books, all that. And there is superb books out there. There's, you know, all the usual ones, the garden expert range, which is the fruit growing expert, the veg expert, the lawn expert, and there's a whole series of expert books. And they're very, very good for somebody who's, I suppose, in the earlier stages. And they're also good for, you know, relatively experienced gardeners as well. They're very useful, very practical. Then obviously you have all the RHS books. So there's several RHS books that, you know, would be really, really good. There's a plant encyclopedia from them. That's a super book. If you ever have any plant that you're not sure about or you don't know whether it'll work in your garden, it's a brilliant reference point because it has so much information in it. And I don't think I've ever searched for a plant that I didn't find in that book, you know, really, really deep level of information in it. But to keep it kind of recommendation for, I suppose, Irish gardeners, there's a couple of really good ones. There's a book that I only received this year as a gift, was the A Beautiful Obsession by Jimmy Blake. Now, Jimmy was on the podcast a couple of months back. He has a superb garden, Huntingbrook Garden, and would be very well known. He has probably the largest or one of the largest plant collections in Ireland. And he has been on BBC Gardeners World and would be a very, very well known gardener. But the book itself is absolutely gorgeous looking, but it's really practical. And as well as being practical, sometimes you get books that are very practical, but are a little bit dull or a little bit boring. But this one is really practical, but it's also very inspirational at the same time. The imagery in it, the pictures in it, all of that is superb. So that's a really good book. If you're buying a book for somebody, just again, have a look. If somebody is a general gardener, then any book will be good for them. But if somebody is specifically growing veg, then maybe buying an ornamental book mightn't be that exciting for them. But if they're all ornamental, then a veg book mightn't be. So just again, look at what they're doing and try and pick a book that suits. But as regards an Irish book for ornamentals, a new book that I've got this year is that A Beautiful Obsession by Jimmy Blake. And I think that can be bought from Jimmy's website, which is Huntingbrook. Not sure, huntingbrook.com, but you'll find them anyway. And it's a super book, really, really good book. If the gardener then is into fruit and veg growing, and again, keeping with an Irish author, again, Klaus Leitenberger, he was on the podcast a couple of weeks back. He's an organic gardening expert, and the books that he has here are very practical, which is exactly what you need when you're talking about vegetable and fruit growing. Now, you don't need, I suppose, inspirational veg growing books here. What you need is practical knowledge that's based on experience, and that's exactly what you'll get from these. So his books, he has two actually. There's one, Vegetables for the Irish Garden, or Fruit and Vegetables for the Greenhouse. So if somebody's growing in a polytunnel or a greenhouse, the second one is a good book. And the first one is a really good book for Irish people who are trying to grow in gardens, because as he said in the podcast, a lot of what you take as being correct, as in, if you look at the back of a packet of vegetable seeds and it says sow in March, well then what Klaus has found over the years is that really you need to be moving that forward by a month for Ireland because of our climatic conditions and so on. So it's really, really practical and a really good book to get. Then the next book, again an Irish book, it was by Jane Powers. It's an Irish Nature Year, which featured on last week's podcast. Again, it's not a gardening book as such, but generally, nature and gardening go hand in hand. And that book is a really nice book. Again, I have it here. It's 366 daily entries about nature all around Ireland, with sort of interesting interesting facts about everything from bugs to birds to plants to insects to mammals to, you know, bats. There's so much information in it, 366 entries, and something different for every day. So that's kind of three books. Apologies for our listeners who are not in Ireland. Maybe some of those books, An Irish Vegetable Year mightn't be, or Vegetables for the Irish Garden might not be, you know, suitable for you, but certainly Jimmy Blake's one will be suitable for any garden anywhere in the world. The next one, which I think is, in my eyes, would be nearly the best gardening gift that you could give somebody. It's a gardening course voucher. And again, doesn't matter where you're listening around the world, there is lots of places running these courses. I suppose up until COVID this year, a lot of these courses would have been run as in-person courses or as weekend courses or one-a-month courses. And that probably has changed a little bit over the last few months. So the courses I'm going to mention here are probably a combination of, some are in-person and some are a combination of in-person and online. And the first one I want to mention is TJ Maher's Botanic Garden course. Now, TJ Maher's Botanic Garden is an absolute fantastic garden. TJ is an artist, and when you see his garden, and if you look him up, colour is his thing. So the artist comes through, and he is superb at mixing colours. Not necessarily colours that you'd always put together, but they really do work, and that's because of his eye for colour. The course itself, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's one day a month over 8 months. And essentially what you do is you take the elements of what ends up being his garden in full show. And so starting in the springtime, you're sowing the seeds that will become the flowers later on. And you're doing this on a practical level in person. And you follow that through month by month. So month one, you're sowing the seeds. Month two, you're doing the next stage of it, whatever that is, and so on and so on and so on. And that would be a really, really nice gift for any gardener. Then Jimmy Blake also does gardening courses. So he would have always done in-person courses, and they would have been booked up, you know, pretty well every year. You know, Jimmy's plant knowledge and you know, the fact that people are getting to do this in Huntingbrook Gardens would have been a big draw for people. And as I say, it would have been a hugely popular course. COVID this year has changed things, and now Jimmy has a sort of a combination of both online and in-person courses. He added some online courses recently, and I know the very latest one was actually only in the last week or so, or last week or two. And it was basically called late arrivals to the party, or something along those lines. Essentially, it was talking about late flowering plants. So in the last couple of weeks, so plants that were really still putting on a show through October and November. And his other course was, I think, called High Summer. So again, that was all about the plants that were giving the best color during that peak period during the summer. And as I say, he does a combination of both online and in-person courses, so they're worth looking out. Then for the edible gardeners, you have Dunmore Garden School. That used to be Dunmore Gardening School, used to be all, I believe, in-person courses. And I saw recently they have changed that to be online course. So the one I saw recently, I think, was creating your own garden from scratch. So that sounds like something really interesting. But again, you know, they're doing a combination of both online and in-person. I've said there that it's for edible gardeners, but the Dunmore one seems to be a combination. It's organic anyway, and I think it goes for kind of the, you know, the permaculture type gardening. And yeah, certainly Tungai there will be very, very experienced and looks like a really good course to do. And then the final one to mention is Klaus Leitenberger's courses. And again, he does a combination of both online and in-person courses. And there was a course that he mentioned that goes on every year out in Connemara. And that was a sort of a weekend course on vegetable growing. But no matter what course it is, and it doesn't matter where you're listening, whether in Ireland, UK, or around the world, somewhere locally, there will be, you know, somebody doing an in-person course, and certainly online, any of these courses will be available to people. And I think that would be a really nice gift. Again, I don't think here would matter so much at what stage the gardening journey somebody was at, whether they were experienced or a beginner. I think here, when you're talking about courses of this type of quality and, you know, some of the people there, you're learning their ideas, their techniques for bringing color together, their tips built up over many years. So I think, as I say, whether you're experienced or a starter gardener, I think you get something from that. So that'd be a really nice gift to get. The next one I have there would be to gift a really nice plant or a tree. Now, this one is a tricky one at times because, again, you would kind of need to know. Some people just don't like, you know, getting a plant gift. They have their own garden style. They like to choose their own plants. Everything has, you know, a direct, they choose a plant for a direct area, and they're very, I won't say they're following the plan, but they're very conscious about what they're planting and where they're planting. And it's almost, you know, everything has a slot. And then if you land in with a pot that's a plant that's not part of that plan, it can throw them a little bit. So it's not always the best gift, but for a lot of gardeners to receive a gift of a really beautiful tree, or, you know, something like a really nice rose or something along those lines, is a gorgeous gift. It's a gift that's kind of given, I suppose, with a little bit of meaning and a little bit of love. And then as it grows, it serves as a reminder to people. So in 5 years' time, oh, that was the tree I got from whoever. And, you know, it remains there as a constant reminder of the gift that you've given them. And as I say, it holds a little bit of meaning. For a gift like that, you need to be giving something nice, you know. So a David Austin rose, or a really nice tree. Again, just thinking that, will that tree suit the garden when it goes there in terms of size? Like, there's no point in sending a massive big tree into somebody that's living in a town garden, small town garden. So yeah, just again, conscious thinking about what sort of a garden they already have, and that would be a really nice gift to get. The next one I have is to, again, it's if somebody is already gardening really, and it would be to buy them their seed collection. So if, for example, you know that John Jones is growing veg, and he grows lettuce, and he grows cabbage, and he grows tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and all of those, then you draw up a list of all those, and you go and get those seeds for the person, whoever it is. And, you know, if it's ornamentals, you do the same. You go and buy your seeds, all the different flower seeds that person will grow. That then, I suppose, saves them a job in the spring. They have all their seed gathered up. But what you can do here is just get something unusual. So again, if I always grow a set type of, you know, salads or whatever it is, then get something different. Let them try something different, because gardeners do love to add something new every year. They like to trial different things. So, you know, as I said, don't get just everything that they always grow. Get something different to add a bit of variety to it. You can, seeds, obviously, it's a small gift, you know, and it's not a big spend in terms of money, but you can bump it up a little bit. You can add things like, you know, propagators or seed trays or labels or thermometers, you know, things that would be useful in that seed sowing process. And then, you know, that's, again, that's something that they'll have in the springtime, and it's something that's really useful. So a practical type gift can obviously be sort of packaged up a little bit nicer. And as I said, you can bump it up with additional items. Another nice gift then would be floral meadow seeds. So we spoke about floral meadows, like, this is not the perfect time of year for sowing it as such, but it's a beautiful, it'll give them a beautiful flowering area through next April, May, June, July. Most gardeners will be successful with this. It's not difficult to grow. Just get a good quality seed, and somebody will be able to prepare a small area, sow the seeds, and then have a flush of colour for months and months and months next year. Again, here, if you're buying it as a gift, it can be purchased to all budgets. Like, so you can buy little packets of seed from, I think, €5 or maybe €6. And then you can go upwards from there to whatever whatever, you know, spend you want to do there. But that'd be a nice gift. So seeds as a good gift for gardeners. The next one I have on the list then, I suppose it's garden related, but it's not gardening as such. And it's a gift to help them enjoy outdoor living. And again, I suppose with the year that we've had of COVID and all the rest of it, home dining, garden rooms, people entertaining at home, all of that has become much more common. And this is where, you know, you might be able to, someone doesn't necessarily have to be very, very interested in gardening, but these will apply to many, many people. And with that in mind, options here are, you can go for a big purchase, obviously. So you could buy somebody a barbecue, a chimney, a patio heater, a set of furniture. You know, they're all big spend items. Actually, some of the patio heaters now, electric patio heaters now, they're getting very, very advanced. So they're electric heaters. A lot of them now are coming with built-in Bluetooth speakers. So this patio heater goes up in the entertaining area outside, and you just connect your Bluetooth, your phone to it by Bluetooth, and you listen to your favorite tunes. But again, all of those are kind of big spend items. But on the lower end of outdoor living sort of spend, you can buy things like lanterns, sets of solar lights. I know this year particularly festoon lights have got very, very popular. You know, huge amount of people in their outdoor spaces or their outdoor entertaining areas have put up festoon lights. You could get outdoor dining sets. So again, you know, you can get sets now with complete tablecloth, napkins, knives, forks, and all the cutlery and stuff that you'd need for outdoor entertaining. And that would be a really nice gift to get. Again, if you're choosing a gift here, just choose the, you know, think of the person's style. You know, if they're very into a certain, you know, maybe a floral theme, but then maybe you're better to get gifts along those lines. But just be conscious of what sort of a theme they already have, or if they have a theme, and try and match in with that as best you can. The next gift that I have here, the category of gift, is garden clothing. And to be fair, doesn't matter where in the world you're gardening, the proper clothing is important, especially if you're gardening in Ireland or the UK. The reality is, if you're going to be gardening, you're going to be out in the wet, you're going to be out in the cold, you're going to be moving around in wet grass and in wet beds. And quality clothing would be hugely important and a really welcome gift for any gardener. I think here, you know, functionality is probably the, well, I suppose functionality and fashion are probably the two considerations. So you're going to get good quality gear that you can work in. So there's probably no point, obviously, going out and buying, you know, something like a really warm, almost like a ski jacket for somebody to wear in the garden, because as soon as they start working, they're going to be too warm in it. So, you know, clothes that are suitable for the job. So I'm thinking here like something like a really good wax jacket. Again, it's functional. It keeps somebody dry when they're in the garden, but it's not overly heavy, so they can actually work in it. Other options then, of course, are quality Wellingtons. You know, there's very good ones like the Hunter boots or the boots from the Muck Boot Company, things like that. Or even on a more basic level, without going into a bigger spend, you know, simple things like gloves, kneelers, and they're the kind of things that'll be used by most gardeners. I would, if you were buying gloves, just definitely buy quality ones. And I suppose a general thing about gardening gloves, and it's probably something that I'll cover again in some time in the future, is that it's good to have gardening gloves for specific jobs. So generally speaking, gardeners will have one pair of gloves and they'll use it for everything. But if you buy two or three different types of gloves that are more tailor-made for the job. So for example, you have a light glove has really good dexterity, that's good for, you know, the little picky jobs like pricking out or sowing seeds or something like that, but then have a heavier one for maybe out doing digging or, yeah, patio work or moving pots, you know, something. So you have different types of gloves for different jobs, and that's always a good thing to do, because having one glove for all gardening tasks kind of doesn't work, and I think most gardeners find that. So maybe get a couple of different types, and then that will cover anybody that's out doing, you know, sort of normal gardening work. As I said then as well, the gloves and the kneelers or the knee pads, they will be a lower level gift. So it's only, if it's only something like a little Chris Kindle gift you're getting, it's not a big spend. So they're ideal there, you know, that type of gift. Another option for a gift is to create a hamper. So get yourself a basket and then fill it with essential gardening products that, you know, nearly every gardener uses. So it'll be very easy to do. Get yourself a basket, fill it with things like seeds, small little tools, a hand trowel, a hand fork, gardening gloves, as I mentioned earlier, maybe kneelers, add in a gardening book. You know, little small things like that. Packets of gardening ties, you know, labels, pens, weatherproof markers, secateurs, anything like that. And the good thing about that sort of a gift is that you can literally create it to any budget. So you can, I suppose you can create one for €5, or you can create one up to €200, and that's up to you. You can choose the level that you want to go in at, and, you know, fill it with useful items, items that are pretty much used by every gardener. I think that would be a nice and welcome gift. Getting a bit lazy here now, but a voucher, while I dislike vouchers personally, if you think about it from a gardener's perspective, if they're gardening all the time and they kind of have an idea of what style they like or what they want to buy, then landing in with, you know, as I said earlier, a plant may not be great, because they might have their, you know, their set idea on what they want in their garden. But if you're getting them a voucher, then they can spend that in their local garden centre, their local nursery, on exactly what it is that they want. Or maybe they have their eye on something bigger in there, you know, whether it's a set of furniture or a big ornament or a statue or new pots or whatever it is. You know, if you're giving them a voucher for their local place that they regularly shop or always shop, then that would be a very welcome gift, because you know it's going to go to good use, and you know that they will get exactly what they want. As I said, vouchers is not my favorite thing in the world, but it is, you know, for some people it is a really good gift. The key, I suppose, with any of them, that's kind of the complete list. The key with any of them, I suppose, is to, as I said at the start, to think about where the gardener is currently. Like they may be at the early stages, and, you know, there's endless options if they are. But even if they're, you know, more experienced gardeners, then there is loads of options there as well. But just consider that, and that will give you a good guide as to what it would be a good gift. From there, I mean, you could draw up a list of hundreds of items. You could go really big spend into buying somebody their own greenhouse or polythene tunnel, you know, getting up into the €1,000, €2,000 spend, or you can go a lot smaller than that. So there's endless opportunities. I suppose given the year that we have, wherever you are in the world, the situation is the same. And if you can at all, try and shop local, try and give the business to, you know, local garden centres, local garden schools, open gardens, all of these places, because it's important that these people are able to stay operating in what was a tough year. So support local. I suppose that it's the same message for any type of shopping, not just for gardening, but for any type of shopping, is to try and shop local, to try and alleviate the bit of pain that a lot of these businesses have faced this year. So that's pretty much it. It's a shorter episode than I've had over the last few weeks. A lot of the episodes are running over 40 something minutes now, and I think we're up around a half hour now. So, but I didn't want to give you exact products, because that would be me picking products that I think would be superb, and that would be my taste and my ideas, and I don't want to do that. But I hope that gives you a sort of a good idea, or put some thoughts into your head as to how you could go about getting the perfect gift for the gardener in your life. So I hope that helps. And that's been this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And until the next time, happy gardening.